You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name's Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit your J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate so you never have to work for anybody else ever again. And in today's show, we're going to be talking all about how if you want to get anything in this life, all you got to do is figure out how many people to help and you will get whatever you want, as long as you're helping them get what they want, and how you can implement that into your life and how you can do this and make so much money, become financially independent. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, this is episode 418. I can't believe how many, I've done so many shows, so many episodes. I started back in 2016. In fact, a little not very well known fact, in 2014, I started a podcast with my brother because we were nervous about podcasting. So we started a podcast together. He wanted to start his own podcast. I want to start mine, but we didn't want to start on our own. So we started one together, and it was called the Walking Dead Bros Podcast. Can you believe that? It's just a funny little anecdote I wanted to share with you, but I've been podcasting since 2014, and my brother and I enjoyed watching The Walking Dead back when it was actually good. And we would get on a phone call and talk about the episode every single week. And we thought, hey, why don't we just do that? And we started getting a good following. We had a lot of people listening. I don't know, let's say 200-300 people listening to each and every episode, which was a lot of fun. But then we stopped that, and he started his own podcast. I started mine, the Master Passive Income Podcast. And I've been doing this since 2016. And the reason why I do it is because my life's goal, my mission in life, is to help a million people to invest in real estate. And hopefully you are one of those million people. And the fact that you come back every single week to listen to this show, and I mean, it's mostly a solo show. I rarely do interviews. But last week, I had Kirby Atwell, a good friend of mine on the podcast who does amazing in his real estate investing, and he had me on his show. Now, he had me on his show to talk about real estate investing, but we got into so much more than just real estate investing. Even got into mindset and growth and like how we got to where we are. And it was such a fun episode to go through because we didn't talk about nuts and bolts about real estate investing. We talked about like who we are as a person in order to get where we are. Like what was the catalyst? Where did we start from? How did I go from being a broke employee working at JOB to where, and the mindset and how driven you are, whatever it might be, like the characteristics in yourself, how you had to develop those in order to become a real estate investor and be successful in doing that. And Kirby shares as well. It was a fantastic interview. It was basically like he and I were in a room just chatting about real estate investing, how we got started, how we built where we are now. And now I'm blessed to be able to share it with you. He said, hey, go ahead. Or I asked him if I could share this on my show. He said, absolutely. I'd love for you to be able to share this out. So this is less of an interview and more of just two friends talking about how we grew as real estate investors. And now how my wife won't let me tell you how much money we make personally. Kirby might share with you how much money he makes in real estate. But give you an example. I've got 34 single family homes. Each one's making me a minimum of $500 a month in passive income. And you could just do the math. And I've owned a lot of these properties for like 15, 20 years. And so when I bought it, it was making me $500 a month. Now rents go up. And so I make a lot more. And so I'm blessed. I just make so much money. And now I have so much free time to be able to have fun on this podcast. But I'm super blessed to have you be here with me. And on top of that, I really, really want to connect with you. I'm an extrovert. I'm definitely an extrovert. And so talking into a microphone, I don't get to hang out with you, But what I love is my Income Building Life Conference that I'm putting on here in Nashville, March 19th through the 21st. It's a time for us to hang out, for me and you to hang out, and lots of other investors, hundreds of other real estate investors that are actively investing. You know, in my own personal, I guess, you know, sphere of friends around me and people at church and the gym, nobody invests in real estate. And so it gets a little lonely. It honestly, it does. When I put on my first event, I brought people together and everybody became friends, because hopefully you come to the Income Building Life Conference, hang out with me and hundreds of investors, and you're going to get people around you that are going to change your life. And you're going to get exposed to everything that we're doing in our investing so that you can see, hey, man, this is not hard. In fact, real estate is simple. It works to get you financial freedom, and you can do it too. Trust me, I've coached thousands of people now. There's nothing special about me, but I know there's something special about you, how you can do it as well. So come to Income Building Live. If you get the VIP pass, you're going to be having lunch with me. You're going to have a dinner with me. You're going to hang out with me and all the other speakers. You're going to be so many amazing things. If you use the promo code Dustin, I'll know you came from the podcast, and you'll get a good discount off of the already low early bird price tickets. Now, I'm super pumped to bring on my friend Kirby Atwell. He's going to be speaking at Income Building Live as well, and we want to see you there and hang out with you. But I'm so pumped to be able to share this episode with you, showing a lot more of what it takes to become a fantastically successful real estate investor. Here we go.
Dustin, welcome to Living Off Rentals.
What's up, Kirby? Hey, thank you so much for having me on the show. I love talking about real estate, love podcasting too. So really terrific. Did I ever tell you that when I started, I started Master Passive Income, but before that I started something else. It was called Rental Passive Income. And as I was creating the Rental Passive Income, about 6 months later, I thought, you know, eventually I might want to get out of just like just specifically rentals. And so I just did Master Passive Income. I still do rentals, but it's I just changed it. But anyways, when you said living off rentals, that just struck me. I was like, oh man, I did have, I still own it, Rental Passive Income.
Interesting. No, I didn't realize that. Yeah, it kind of, I guess it could pigeonhole you, but you definitely, I think, are known for investing in rentals at this point. And I was just thinking before this too, I feel like you could be a co-host of this show at this point, because you've been on, this will be your fifth appearance on the
Has
show.
Has it been that so many times?
The most of any guest that I've had. So that you're on episode 102, 152, 205, and 244, and this will be 311. So
I love it. Thank you.
Welcome this back.
This is exciting. And plus, I mean, it's great. You know, we're friends, get to hang out together. You come and speak at my events. We go to podcasting events together. It's just, it's terrific. And plus, you know, you and I are more givers rather than takers. And so, yeah, it fits really well. I think I've had you at least three or four times. I don't know if it's been five. That sounds like a lot, but it's great. It's great bringing on awesome people on the show. Just like, you know, your show is fantastic. I point everybody over to your show as well.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's like you said, it's just cool to be able to make friends through this platform, and then, you know, you do other things outside of it too. So just to give a little background for people who weren't a part of the previous four episodes, so Dustin is obviously a real estate investor. He's the founder of masterpassiveincome.com, which is a really big platform growing every single day. He's been successfully unemployed since 37. So since he turned 37 is when they basically had enough real estate properties to leave his full-time job. And his mission now is to help a million people to invest in real estate and achieve financial freedom. And so puts on some incredible events in addition to running his podcasts and all the social media places that he is as well, which are huge. He's got a huge online presence. So a lot of topics we can go into today. And I just want to start off with, maybe you could just give a little bit of a background about, you know, how you got to where you are today, just to catch people up who weren't a part of those previous episodes.
Yeah, so I started investing back in 2006. I was a regular employee, you know, just working a dead-end job is what I like to call it, because you're living just over broke when you're working a just over broke job. And when you're working a job, Your boss is paying you just enough to keep you working without quitting, but not so much money it takes money out of their pocket. And so I was doing that exact same thing, following the exact same path that ever, we're all taught this from birth. Go to school, get good grades, and go to get a degree and get in 10, 20, 30 plus thousand dollars in debt and get a quote unquote career. So I did was doing the same exact thing. Started doing technology, project management at a local county government. But I'll fast forward the story. I got laid off from there. And I thought, my goodness, if I got laid off from the government, which nobody ever gets fired or laid off from the government, but if that happened to me, I got to figure out a way to make sure that I feed my family. So fast forward, started buying property, started in 2006, just kept buying property after property long-term. I love, and back in 2006, short-term wasn't really even heard of, let alone property managers that would manage those short-terms. And so I was buying for long-term, trying to make $500 a month from every single property, just buy and hold. And so after 30 plus properties of just buying and buying and buying, and then I had lots of money coming in. And then what was really fun too, was as I was quitting my job, I had a lot of people asking me, well, Dustin, like, how are you not going to work? And I said, well, I am real estate. It makes me money without working. And the second question always comes, like clockwork, well, can you show me how to do it?
Yeah.
And so I just started, you know, friends and family members, coworkers and stuff. I started showing them and I realized two things. I enjoyed doing it, enjoyed coaching people. It was a lot of fun. But number two, I had plenty of free time because that was 40 plus hours of your life, not working for somebody else, slaving away for somebody else. I had plus 40 plus hours of my life. There's only so much golf you can play. There's only so much, you know, hanging out with the kids and stuff, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But after a while, it's like, I spent like 2 years of not doing anything. I was like, I got to do something. And so I was like, I really need to start doing some more active type stuff. And then the coaching really started taking off, or me just sharing. So fast forward, wrote a bunch of books, podcasts, YouTube channel, all that good stuff. And now having conferences, bringing people together. And with the goal of helping a million people to invest in real estate, the amazing thing is that the more people that I help in my life to get what they want, which is investing in real estate, hopefully financial freedom, honestly, like the better my life gets and the better their life gets. And so now I look at my life in abundance, meaning like there's so much in the world for everybody. It's not like scarcity, like, oh, I got to grab, because I played football growing up in high school and college. And that's like, it's like your team against the other team. And so, yeah, like it's always like a competition.
Yeah.
And I approached real estate like that until I started coaching people. So I was always like, don't tell anybody where I'm investing or don't help anybody because it's competition. But then when I started coaching people, I started seeing that everybody was doing so much better when I had a community, when I had a lot of people helping each other. Because honestly, Kirby, I used to think that other investors are my competition. It's not true. Who is our competition? It's homeowners. They're the ones that fall in love with properties, way overpay for properties. Us other investors who know how to do it right, like you and me and our students, we're not really competing. You know, we might go after the same property, but it's not like we're trying to overpay by like $50,000 or like 20-30% above asking price. And so the more people that I help, I realize, man, honestly, the more money I make, the more properties I own. But then the bigger thing was, and you get this because you have lots of students too, I feel so much more fulfilled in like personally. I feel fulfilled. When I bought my first property, that was an accomplishment. When I quit my job, that's another accomplishment. I got 1,000 rental units, apartment complex units. That's another accomplishment, but I don't feel fulfilled. It feels like I need more accomplishments. But when I help somebody else get what they most want in life, invest in real estate, become financially independent, whatever it might be, I feel fulfilled. Like, I just feel like, man, I was able, God bless me, to be a part of somebody else's journey, to help them along the way. And they look at me as just like they look at you. It's like, thank you so much for helping me. You didn't have to do this, but you did. And I'm like, that's why I now have this goal of helping a million people to invest in real estate. But it's just, it honestly has made my life so much more joyful because I have so many people that are looking at me just like you that are saying, man, I'm so glad Dustin's around. I'm so glad Kirby's around because I've now been able to change my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and my life's changed as a result of meeting you as well, and you know, coming to your conferences and all the different ways. I mean, there's so many different ways that that I've benefited personally just from coming into contact with you. And so I get that same question though all the time from people like that are interested in working with me as a coach. They're like, you know, kind of suspect. They're like, well, you know, you made it to financial freedom, so why would you do this? Like, why are you teaching other people? Like, you know, it's like, you're supposed to just like get to financial freedom and then just stop and like hide it somewhere. And it's like, you can't,
it's so boring.
Like, yeah. And it's like the natural question. And I get where it's coming from. Like, if you're not in that position yet, it's hard to imagine like that. It seems like that's the ultimate goal. But as soon as you get to that place, it's like, then the next question is, okay, but like, what's the point of life now? It's like to have a positive impact on people. And that's where you get real fulfillment. So,
that's a key word you just said was impact in other people's lives. And, the more people that I can impact, I just feel more alive. And in fact, mm-hmm. you know, money, I'm not driven by money. There are plenty of people that are driven by money. That's just not how I am. And so I'm very blessed to have plenty of money. I save 90% of what I make and it goes back into real estate. I just keep buying more real estate. And so like I have a truck, I have a Ford F-150. It's my dream truck. And like, I don't need Ferraris. I don't need, I don't have the huge houses. Like I'm fine with, I'm not driven by money. And so when I look at what I am driven by, the more people that I've helped, it's driven me to do things that I probably wouldn't do. Like honestly, putting on the conference, it was called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Now it's called Income Building Live. Many reasons to change, to rebrand it, to really help people get a shift in their mindset, which we can get into in a minute. But I would not be putting on an event, you know, getting 400 or 500 people in any, like, that's a lot of stress. I'm like signing on a hotel. Like it's like $300,000 that I'm guaranteeing. If this thing flops, I have to pay out of my pocket. I wouldn't do this if I didn't have that vision of like, let me just help people. And, and it so worked out that there are a lot of people that attend, which helps pay for the event. It's basically like I get to throw a party and let's have everybody come and hang out with me.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I want to hear more about the changes and the new conference this year, but I want to ask you first. So, I mean, when I was thinking about this interview and thinking about you, kind of two things stand out to me when I think about you. It's like, one is someone who recognizes the importance of return on time and not just return on investment. And then also someone who, you know, is just really great at creating relationships and lifting others up. And so I guess to that first point, you know, I love that you're someone who balances the most important things in life. You know, to me, that's faith, family, fitness, you know, those are the things that.
And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
That are really supported by finance and business. And it's hard to have one without the other. You know, like if you're working 80 hours a week, it's hard to have fitness and, you know, a strong family life, you know? And then if you're fit, but you can't pay the bills, like that's another tough thing to be in. But I think most people get it backwards and they're so focused on the money first. I'm going to set up, optimize everything to make as much money as possible. Then I'll figure out the other things. But you strike me as someone who's got a really good balance on that. And you keep the most important things first. You got five kids now, and maybe more. So, at some point, but
you're praying, Lord willing.
I'm just curious for others who are listening to this, who also want to prioritize the right things and respect that in you. How do you look at it? Like how do you manage all that you have going on? Cause you have more than 99% of people I know going on in your life. How do you structure it to where you can fit it all in and keep the most important things first?
Yeah, time is the most expensive commodity you could ever spend. Like money is gold, silver, like it's your time. When you realize that your time is going to go away, 100% of the people die. That's just proven fact. Everybody dies. And so people say that, and I agree that time is the most expensive commodity you'll ever spend. But what's even more expensive than that is the culmination of your time here on this earth, which is your life. If you spend your life working for somebody else or going on a path that's not actually going to be fulfilling to you in the end, in the long run, then you've spent your life. And it was hopefully a waste, or hopefully not, but it is a wasted life if you go after the wrong things. And so what I started realizing a long time ago, that I wanted freedom of time. That was the number one thing. Now, there's two things I'll get to. So one I'll get to in a secondary is delayed gratification. That's how I got to where I am. But first, before that, you're 100% right that money is just a means to an end. The end for me is freedom in my life, time freedom, money freedom, to not have to worry about money or bills ever again. But here's what really leads into another. And you have to, you don't say have to, but it's good when you build it this way. So you need to have a money freedom in your life, and you work hard to eventually hopefully get, let's say you get like 10 rental properties and they're cash flowing, and then you have money that comes in. You don't have to work. That then allows you to have a time freedom. So money freedom leads into a time freedom. And then that time freedom, you can do whatever you want, but you also have the money to help you to do whatever you want with your time. But then that time, sometimes you might have some damaged relationships along the way because you worked so hard to get to where you are. Then that time freedom leads into a relationship freedom where you go back and you start building up all those relationships. Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your spouse or parents or whatever it might be. You shore up and get those relationships solid. So the money leads into time. Time leads into relationships. And the last one is where you and I both live in, which is amazing, is relationships lead into service. When you start serving people, and I'm going to tell everybody, so for you listening, I'm going to tell you this, you're going to understand it, you're going to comprehend it, but you're not going to completely get it. And I'll give the example. Let's say, or this happened to me. So my brother had his kid before we had kids, and I was looking at his son. I was like, oh man, I love him like my own. He said, no, you don't. I said, what do you mean? Of course I do. This is my nephew. You just don't understand that when you have a child and you're a parent, it's a different, you don't even comprehend that feeling. You might understand what it should be. You don't have that feeling though. Same thing with service. I've always heard lots of people talk about you should serve a lot of people. The more people you serve, the more money they make, the more money you make, and everybody wins. I thought that's a great thing, but I did not get it until I started living in it. And now I realize that the more people that I serve, honestly, I make so much more money. But here's the key thing. When you're serving somebody else, you're not taking from them. It's not like they're losing, you're winning. You're both winning, and they're getting what they want. You're getting what you want. Like if I buy a single family home and I give a tenant a decent rent, you know, it's not exorbitant. They have a great place to live in. Then we're both winning. It's a mutually beneficial thing. And so what we need to move to, as fast as you can, for you listening, as fast as you can, you want to get into the service aspect. Now, it does take, you know, money, time, relationships to get into service. You can jump right into service. But that's how I prioritize things, is I went that route in life. Now, quickly, I'll get to jump into the delayed gratification. And this is how I got here. I won't say as fast as I did, because people have done it faster. But like in the time frame that I went through, it was delayed gratification. So when you're thinking, okay, finances, your health, relationships, all those sort of things, a lot of people think I'm going to compartmentalize and I'm going to, okay, I need to make my family the highest priority, which is not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but to the detriment of other things. And so what I didn't do was do that. I didn't focus, okay, just the work to the detriment of the family, to the detriment of health or whatever. I made sure that as best as I could, I knew the number one thing that I needed in my life was to be able to provide for my family. So, which was money, which was the investing. So I would, like, I don't know, let's venture to say 70% down that route, like really, really hard. But at the same time, when I didn't have time, I still made myself go to the gym. I still made myself hang out with my family. I still made myself not watch TV, not go on vacations, not spend money, because delayed gratification. The longer I put off something that's good right now, if I put it off for, let's say, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, however long it is away, it's going to be so much better because of working hard right now to make my life even better in the future. And I So I would wake up at 4:30 every morning. I still worked a job. I'll tell you that. So I wake up at 4:30 every single morning, get to the gym by 5 o'clock. I was doing CrossFit 5 to 6, and then 6 o'clock rolls around, jump in the shower real quick, get to my business. I had a business at the same time working a job. By 7 o'clock, I'd open the business, get the employees going, and then I go to my job by 7:30. Then I work all day, and then I would go back home. Not home, sorry. Go back to my business, close down the business, and then go home.
And that in the was meantime, a convenience
on my lunch
store,
break,
right?
On my breaks or driving, I would be investing. I'd be focusing on doing the things that can make me have financial freedom. But then I go home, kiss my wife and kids, go to bed by 9 o'clock because I'm tired, and then go do the same thing over and over again. Yeah. I did that for 5 years, constantly for 5 years. And it's the reason why I saw the light at the end of the tunnel of this hard work that I'm putting in now, that now for the last 10 years, I haven't had a job, which has been amazing. And I'm like, I don't have an alarm clock to wake up to. I don't have a boss that I have to ask for vacation time. I have plenty of money to do whatever I want. And now I can just serve people. But it was that delayed gratification, putting off for the future, even like good things now, but putting it off for the future. Like I didn't go on vacations for 5 years. We ate, I think, like top ramen or macaroni and cheese, or we didn't spend money because every penny that did not go to a property was another minute, 10 minutes, hour, weeks later for me not being able to quit my job. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, I think that's a part that it's hard for people to hear that, you know, there is a pure, it's not like you push a button and you get rich overnight. But if you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, it makes it worthwhile. And it's not always going to be a perfect balance, but it frees you up to have a lot more balance if you can focus in the beginning. So one other thing too that you mentioned that I thought was interesting, that I think people, maybe not everyone has this mindset of, when you help people, you know, we're talking about used to, or people would view it as competition in a lot of cases. I think a lot of people don't recognize that the pie can actually get bigger as you're assisting people. It's not that now they have a bigger cut of the pie than you do. Like before it was 50-50. Now they have 75 and you only have 25% of the pie. The pie just got a lot bigger because like their knowledge expanded. Your ability to do different things has expanded because you now have a partner and a new relationship. And that leads to new partners and new relationships and more impact that you can have. And it just consistently gets bigger. That's that difference between the abundance versus fixed mindset. And it's hard to wrap your head around in the beginning if that's not your mindset. But I'd encourage people to maybe go back and re-listen to this section again that you just went through, because I think that's exactly it. It's just like everybody benefits when you start supporting other people's goals.
One thing that I hear too, and I absolutely think then you're 100% right that it doesn't have to be the detriment of somebody else. But one pushback that I do get when I, not on the service, but like in helping other people, but in my work ethic or how hard I work or what the quote unquote sacrifice, which it's just a sacrifice because you're telling yourself it's a sacrifice. Yeah. Instead of saying, I have to do this, or I have to go to work, or I have to pick up my kids from, you know, the bus stop, or I have to do, imagine if you could, like you're thinking, I have to go pick up my kids. Well, that's a bad perspective. What if you could never pick up your kids? What if your kids were gone, God forbid, and you couldn't? Then you would say, oh my goodness, that's a horrible hole in my life. Now you should be saying, I get to pick up my kids. I get to go to school. Go to the gym, or I get to go to work. I get to whatever it might be. If you have that different perspective, life of abundance, life that life's or world's not out to crush you or get you, but maybe it's there to, you know, the pie gets bigger. I love that idea. If you start having that perspective, I get to do this, then honestly, you will enjoy it more, number one, but then you also probably do better at whatever it is that you're doing. Be present there. Like maybe it's working, maybe it's investing, whatever. If you realize I get to do this, then you do so much better. One other quick last thing that I'll share that people push back on my work ethic or, you know, how much I work. They said, well, Dustin, like, how did you have so much time? I don't have that time to do that. I said, well, I had 24 hours in the day. How many hours do you have? Oh, exactly. We all have 24 hours a day to do whatever it is. It's not that you don't have the time. It's you don't make the time. It's just that's really what it comes down to. And I do I love this quote, and it's from Arnold Schwarzenegger. He said something awesome. People say, you know, how do I do this? I don't have any time. He says, well, we only have 24 hours. Sleep faster. I was like, I'll sleep faster. Okay. And I would sleep maybe 5.5 hours, maybe 6 hours at most, and get back to work. And maybe on the weekends, I would sleep a little longer, whatever. But we all have the same amount of hours in the day. We all have the same laws that are against us, that are for us, and all that sort of stuff. And so we just need to apply the things, like the things that, if you're listening to Living Off Rental podcast and you haven't taken action, like I know you're coming back listening every single week, listen to Kirby growing, you need to also take action. Because if you're not going to take action, if you're not going to actually do it and you're just listening, you're not going to change your life. And so you need to take that action, sleep faster, have delayed gratification, all the above. But that's exactly, that's how I've gotten to where I am.
Yeah. Wow. That's really good. And that actually made me think of something as you're describing that and the perspective, because you're talking about like having a different perspective. Like what if your kids didn't exist? Like, you know, there's people who have tried for years to have kids and they don't have kids. And you're like complaining that, you know, you have to like wake up with them or, you know, like drive them around or whatever it is. And one thing that I do that's kind of a tactical hack, I guess, that has really worked for me is I love reading about other people's journeys that have been really tough. So I don't know if you ever read Man's Search for Meaning.
No, I haven't.
Amazing book. Dr. Viktor Frankl, he wrote this book. He was in a concentration camp. His whole family was executed. And he wrote, developed a whole mindset around, you know, how he survived concentration camps.
I'm ordering
camps.
It right now. Viktor Frankl found it.
Another one that I just read. So I read that one years ago, but when I just read is Escape from Camp 14. So it's about the only North Korean to escape from these basically death camps that he was born into, planned. I mean, it was going to be a whole life of just labor until he died. And he was the only
one.
What
was it called again?
Escape from Camp 14. So, you know, books like this, where you like, it's hard to like even go back to your day-to-day life after reading books like this, because you see people then who complain about like, oh, it was hard to wake up this morning, or it was like, man, it's cold outside. And it's like, dude, there's somebody who literally is tortured 24/7 his whole life, and like now he's on the other side of that, and like you're complaining about what you like, these little things that you have. So I read those things and it's incredible like how much more motivated I am to like get to work and like, you know, structure a life of meaning, because like we can't, like it's just such a blessing. So perspective.
And, you said one word just now that I changed my, and to help me keep going in that direction of being grateful or being joyful or having gratitude in general, you said one word that I now switched in the last couple of, maybe 3 years. So whenever anybody would ask, how are you doing? You know, how's it going? That's the first quick thing. How's it going? You would say, oh, I'm fine, or everything's going well, or, you know, something like that. I changed it to where I say, well, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's really all I can. I'm above the ground, which means I'm not dead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm breathing. I can walk. I can talk. There's so many grateful things that you can have in your mind that you can be grateful for.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking of even more abundance. If you start thinking about the negative things in your life, then that's always going to draw you away. And one quick thing I say with the blessing. So my wife and I married, 20 years coming up here in May.
Nice.
Five
congrats.
Kids. Thank you. We're very, very blessed. We've also, at our church, we've done lots of marriage counseling with people or for people. And there's one thing that I try to do every time I'm counseling somebody, if I do a big conference or like some sort of event with a bunch of married couples trying to help them to, you know, grow in their marriage. I say, okay, here's everybody. This is what you've been waiting for. Get out a piece of paper. Let's say you got a piece of paper. Hold on, Owen, if you're watching on YouTube, you got a piece of paper. Now your spouse is not going to look at this. Grab a pen. Everybody, like your spouse is going to write about you. You're going to write about your spouse. Write down every negative thing you can think of about your spouse. they're like, oh man, this is great. They start writing and writing and they get like 3 or 4 lines and then like, huh, They have to kind of think of another. Okay, here's a fourth one. They come up with a fourth one. But the list gets very short, very fast. Like they think it's a huge list, like 20, 30 things. When you boil it down, they're like, oh, there's only like four or five things, maybe at most four. Then I say, okay, set it aside. Don't let your spouse see it. Set it aside. Now get out a new piece of paper. And now I want you to write down all the positive, all the good things about your spouse that you could come up with. And every single time, it's a list of like 30, 40. Like I run out of time. Like, okay, you got to stop writing now. Because if you just add up all these little tiny things from like, oh, my wife makes me breakfast every morning, or she makes me coffee and it sends me off, or you never know. Like everybody has little tiny things that you'd be grateful for. And then you look at the list, 30 things versus three or four. It's like, well, I'm focusing on the wrong list. Mm-hmm. And then this is what I tell everybody. Okay, now this is what you need to do. Commit to yourself. It's not to me. It's not to your spouse. You're committing to yourself. Take that list of all the negative things, crumble it up, stand up, and go walk and throw it away in the trash. Mm. Go throw it away. You're making a conscious commitment to not be thinking about those things. Same thing with life in general. You're investing, your job. Get those negative things out of your mind, because that's only dragging you down as opposed to looking at the benefits. And when I did this for the first time, I made a conscious effort to not even remember what those negative things are. I'll be completely honest. I did that like, I don't know, 15 plus years ago for the first time. I don't even remember what my list was, but I do remember my list. I think I still have my list somewhere on my desk, a list of all the good things. Yeah. And so when you get rid of all the negative things, maybe your job's terrible. I completely get it. If you focus on the good things, that helps you to then go after the even better things instead of like always being drugged down.
I love that, man. Such a great practice. I mean, anyone could do that. You could just start writing a list every day. Just write a few things of what you're, what are going well, or what you love about your spouse, or what you love about your life, your business. Man, I can totally see how that could change someone's life.
You know what's also really interesting too? I heard an anecdote, but like a study done, and I started implementing this into myself, and I've seen a change. So there was a study done of, let's say, the top 100 tennis players. So, you know, think of the top 100, there's number one all the way down to 100. They talked to all of them, interviewed all of them. The top five had something different than all the other 95 below them. The top five did something completely different. The other ones didn't. What was it? It was not negative self-talk, but positive self-talk in a way that it says like this. Let's say, you know, most people, oh, that was a terrible shot. Like they swing in tennis and the ball goes off to a different direction. Oh man, that was terrible. Man, I can't believe I did that. And they start dwelling on the past as opposed to like, okay, what could have done right? And how is this next shot going to be the best shot ever in the history of shots? And they visualize it. They get their positive energy up. And honestly, I really believe I'm not a hippie at all. Meaning like, I don't believe in that woo-woo type stuff, but at the same time, I've seen it work. Like when you get your mindset in a right direction of like, I'm thinking so positively, then the top five, what they always did was they kept telling themselves and visualizing the next shot being the best shot ever, or how this next shot, I'm going to do this. And they're constantly getting a positive frame of reference, a frame of mind. And I started doing this in my Olympic lifting that I do 5 days a week. I started thinking, because when you have technique, if you're playing tennis, you're playing baseball, whatever sport, Olympic lifting or lifting weights, you have to have technique. And if you miss on the technique, you could hurt yourself, number one. But number two, you could also just not make the lift. And then I've been doing positive self-talk for the last 6 months, saying, okay, this next lift, this is going to be the best lift of the day. I'm going to get this, boom, boom, hit this right. And honestly, more often than not, it works. So what I'm trying to say is, everybody, it's not just your mindset. It's also self-talking yourself into gratitude, into this is what's going great, or this next step is going to be amazing. And I'm going to make sure that it's amazing because I'm putting all my effort towards that.
Man, I think the problem that a lot of people have that are listening to this is that it sounds too easy. You know, it sounds too simple. And I read The Compound Effect years ago. And one of the quotes that stood out to me in that is, if it's simple to do, it's also simple not to do. And you think about that for all the little things that when you talk to people, it's a lot of simple things that have led to success. This is like top five tennis players in the world. It's got to be something like totally complex, right? It can't just be simple, a simple practice. So don't skip over this. Like, you know, try it, you know, try these simple things and see, you know, how it can play out in your life. Cause it makes sense. It makes sense that that would have a huge benefit.
So. Well, if we even apply it to real estate investing, a lot of people, they get caught up in analysis paralysis and they start thinking, well, what about this? And what about that? And they look at a bunch of different properties. They keep second guessing themselves. That's what the bottom 95% of tennis players do. They start second guessing themselves as opposed to being the top five that's doing the positive. Okay. Out of all of them, I know which ones they are. What's good, what's bad about them. I'm going to go after this one. Let's say it's top two properties out of your list of 10. I'm going to go after these because I know, because I've done my analysis, I'm going to get past the paralysis. I'm going to go after these because these are going to be the best deals ever. And I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make sure that everything I do to get this deal is going to make it the best deal for me. Let's say you have a positive frame of reference. You're talking to the seller and the seller is like, well, my wife's divorcing me. I got to get rid of this house. And you come up with a brilliant idea that helps both of them. And then they sell to you because you have a positive frame of reference. It's so much better when you are focusing on the good things, telling yourself this is going to be the best, because the best comes out of you when you actually do that.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. I love this conversation. I could go down so many rabbit holes with you, but I want to hear, you mentioned RubeCon before, the conference that you've run in the past, last 4 years. I've been a part of it. It's been absolutely phenomenal. So many great relationships have come out of that. I've learned so much from it. This year, RubeCon no longer exists, and it's something new, new and improved. And when I heard RubeCon was going away, I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And then I heard, oh, it's actually just getting better. And it's called Income Builder Live this year. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about what RubeCon was and then why the transition. What is Income Builder Live and who is it for?
Yeah. So originally when I started in 2022, it's called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. And my vision was to help people build wealth investing in real estate and then build a community of other real estate investors, like all of us podcasters, people that have coaching students. Let's bring them all together and build a big community of all these people. So that was flawed in two main big ways that I realized and I had to wake up to it. But we did it for 4 years, which was fantastic. It was really, really good. And then I realized the biggest problem was the first one, which was in the title itself, Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. It's the wealth. That's the biggest problem in that name, because when somebody invests for wealth, they have in mind, well, I'm just going to go, first thing you could think of is appreciation, or, you know, it's just going to go up in value and then I'm going to sell it for everything. That's what can happen when you think of wealth. But I realized if I just help people go after wealth, they don't automatically get income. It doesn't come. They might or might not get income. You know, value might go up, but let's say they're losing $1,000 a month because they have a huge mortgage, and that's not very good. That's going to be bad. So I said, I need to change that. That needs to be something we change. But then at the same time, the community aspect. Remember, I said, build wealth and build a community of people, of investors. Well, when I built a community, it was great. We had a lot of people coming. Honestly, I personally lost track of the individual, the person that's coming, that I need to help that one person, let alone the hundreds of other persons there. I need to focus on them instead of the community because, and I realized this, people were coming year after year after year and not actually investing. You know, they come, they see their friends and everything like that, but they haven't actually, maybe they bought one property and they haven't moved forward and they know they need to, they keep coming back, but they don't keep moving forward. And so that was the second big problem. Was I wanted to focus on the person, helping every, even though there's hundreds of individual persons, I was like, I need to help the person to build income into their lives so they become financially independent. Because when you invest for income, you 100% of the time always get wealth. But when you get wealth, you don't automatically get income. And so if we focus on income, then wealth comes. If I focus as all of us, like, you know, speakers like you and myself, if we all focus on the person to invest, as opposed to just, let's just bring a community of people, we focus on each individual person to invest, then they win, everybody wins. So that was the big thing. Now it's Income Building Live, because I want people to realize, every attendee to realize The goal is building income, because when you have income, you have freedom, and then you have wealth, and everything gets better after that.
Man, that's such a important nuanced change that I try to impress upon people too. And I sometimes feel like I'm like the only one talking about it, because everyone's so caught up in scale and building wealth and they forget about income. But I have conversations all the time with people who own short-term rentals that want to sell them. They want it, and they don't want to sell them. They want to get out from under them, because they bought into this idea, especially over the last 5 years or so, of I'm going to buy in these mainstream markets where the property prices are going up like crazy.
Taxes are crazy. Insurance is crazy.
Yeah. And they're like, well, they justify buying these properties that don't have any income, to your point. And in some maybe well-meaning, maybe sometimes not well-meaning realtor sells them this property that is like, well, you know, yeah, it's not cash flowing, or maybe it's losing $500 a month, but look 5 years from now, because it's appreciating so much, you're going to be on mountains of wealth. And then now the property values have dipped a little bit in a lot of these markets. And so they're upside down on a property they're feeding every month, which is a horrible place to be in. So if you can focus on solid income, I don't care what the value of the property is doing, because I know 20 years from now, it's going to be worth twice as much. So, you know, it's such a great point. Who is it for? Like who would you say the ideal person would be to attend Income Builder Live?
Income Builder Live is going to be for, honestly, if you are an investor or you're looking to invest. So, I mean, that runs the gamut of if you're already an expert, which means like you and myself, like you and me, we're experts. We've already been doing this a long. We've been coaching a lot of people. I've coached thousands of people now. And so we get around other people. Like I try to bring other experts in so that you and I and other people who are at this level, we have those people that we can rub shoulders with and talk to and become buddies with. But if you're just getting started, I also keep away people who are speakers and experts who are a little more of a, how do I say it in a positive way? I want every new investor to think that Kirby, like you and myself, everybody sees us. Hopefully they see us as guides. We're not the hero. We're not the, hey, look at me. I'm driving this Ferrari. I'm flying in my private plane and all that sort of stuff. I don't resonate with that stuff. I don't ever want to create something like that. So I want every new person to think that, to believe that they, number one, they can do it. And number two, real estate's simple. It's not hard. It's actually very simple. And number three, they can do it, you know, and it works. It works to get you income. And so who is it for? It's for anybody who wants to invest in real estate or already is investing in real estate, because everything that I've done for the last 5 years to build this conference has helped me tailor it even better and better and better for every type of investor.
Awesome. Awesome. So what are the main topics that you go over? Cause I've had a few people reach out about that, cause I've shared this with my community and they're like, okay, so what tactically, I know everyone's focused on the tactics. So what are, I guess, how's it set up, and what will people actually, the tangible takeaways?
Yeah. So I will tell you exactly what it's not first. What it's not is it's absolutely not about flipping. It's not about wholesaling. It's not about like transactional things, because you don't have income. You have if you flip a property, you have a glut of income, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but you basically have a job. You have to go flip another house. You have to go, you flipped houses.
Yeah, that's
it's,
right.
It's a grind. I have 30 plus properties, single family homes that I own, some midterm, mostly long-term. I don't do anything. I go to the gym 5 days a week. I hang out, you know, talk to on podcasts, great people like you. And I don't do anything because I have my properties work for me. And so it won't be flipping. It won't be wholesaling, any of these like get rich quick schemes. No, what we're actually talking about is buy and hold investing. It could be all types. It could be short-term, mid-term, long-term, even co-living. Co-living is getting amazing. I think it's going to in the next few years, because of unaffordability of homes are getting crazy. And Gen Z is, they're okay with, I'm not, I don't want to live with anybody else, but apparently other people are. They're okay with that. And so we're buy and hold, and it could be residential. So single to four units, that's residential. And we even have people who have invested in apartment complex. I invest in apartment complexes. And so if you're looking at all the asset classes, we have people invest in mobile home parks. We have storage units, storage facilities. So you think about the asset classes, we have the people there that are going to be coaching and educating and being there to help you. And, but like I said, it's definitely not flipping or wholesaling or anything that's even realtor. Like, it's not a realtor type of event. Mm-hmm. Don't come here as a realtor, come here as an investor. In fact, if you are a realtor, I'm going to say you should get off the fence and you should be an investor. If you're a realtor and you're in there, you're practicing the game every single day, but you're not in the game. If you are a realtor, you should be absolutely investing. You should be talking to Kirby, getting his coaching program, learning how to get these short-term properties that make a lot of money every single month. So yes, does that make sense of my perspective of what we're doing?
Huge, huge. Yeah. And to your point about realtors too, I can almost guarantee you that if you start building income as a realtor, if you don't have like passive income coming in, if you start building income and you get to a place where that's enough to support your day to day, you're going to be a much, much better realtor. And that's realtor. That's if you have a 9-to-5 job, that's whatever else you're doing to earn transactional income, you're going to be way better at it because you carry yourself so different. I remember when I hit that point of I realized I could actually leave my job today and I'd be okay. You walk into work so much different. You sit down with a client so much different as a realtor because I don't have to be here. Like, I'm here because, you know, I enjoy serving you, but if you're not the right client, I'm walking away because I got other things I can do.
And you also, honestly, in my opinion, I think you'll get better return customers, return buyers of homes and sellers because you're giving them so much information and helping them out where they are as opposed to needing a sale. Oh, I got to pay the rent this month or mortgage this month. You know, we just got to do anything we can't. No. If you come in a different perspective, like you said, if you don't have to stress about that money and anything in life, if you're a realtor or whatever, like you said, I could just quit my job. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You carry yourself differently. In fact, I was at a mastermind retreat that I was a part of. And there's this guy, his name's Lance, super nice guy, but he flies all over the world and trains like not necessarily a life coach, like a business type life coach for big five, what was it? The big companies, the I don't know, GEs and all that. Like he goes and trains them. And he said, hey, this is like after 2 days. Hey, Dustin, what makes you like you're different than most people that I've seen and that I've met, even the Fortune 500 CEOs that I've coached. You're very confident in yourself, not in a negative way, like you're pompous or anything, but it's like you're confident. You know who you are. And like, how did you get that way? And I really explained, like, I don't have to answer to anybody. And my focus now is how to serve people. If with those combinations of those two, because you can get very arrogant and you can think of yourself as better than other people. But I read the Bible every single day, actually multiple times every day. And when the Bible says, consider others more important than yourself, I take that very seriously. Like, okay, every single person could be like, we have hundreds of people come to the conference, Income Building Live conference, but that one person that's standing in front of me, I consider them more important than me. And I give them 100% of my time. Like they are the only person in this world, even though there's, you know, lots of people walking around, they're the only person that I focus on because I'm like, I would much rather give than receive. Jesus said, it's much better to give than receive. And one quick last thing I'll say is that when I was in college, I was reading the Bible and the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I thought, oh my goodness, I do not want God, the creator of the universe, to be opposed, like against me. What do I need to do to not have him against me? Okay, I got to learn what pride is. I got to learn what humility is. I got to learn what pride looks like and what it actually, how it embodies itself and what humility looks like. And that's how I really started changing myself to say, I'm going to start focusing on other people. How do I serve other people? And one quick last thing I'll say about pride, because pride is something that everybody struggles. I still struggle with it, even though I try to combat it. Actually, let me ask you this, Kirby. Which one is more prideful? Out of these two sentences, which one is more prideful? A person thinks highly of themselves or a person thinks lowly of themselves?
I would say highly. Seems intuitive.
So I'll give you the answer. It was kind of a trick question.
I assumed it probably was. That's why you're asking, but
so they are both prideful. One's a little more arrogant, other one's more self-deprecating. Mm. But if you look at the words, listen to what I say. A person thinks highly of themselves, and a person thinks lowly of themselves. Remove highly, and remove lowly, a person thinks of themselves. That's what pride comes down to, is if you start thinking about yourself above other people, that is where somebody seems like, oh man, that person's just a downer. I don't want to be around that person. Or that person's a jerk. He's so arrogant. I don't want to be. That's how it embodies itself. And so when you stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people, my goodness, people just want to be around you. And it's for good reason. I love being around people that want to be givers, that want to help other people, because I feel better because they're just great people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, great point. I realized when I first started speaking and sharing, you know, my journey and on the podcast and just public speaking, it wasn't natural. You know, everyone, I think that they say it, most people fear that more than death. And the biggest hack, I think, that I did that just helped me be so much more comfortable with it is to think about the other person more than me, you know, because most people, if you're super nervous going into a public speaking event or something, it's because you're focused on you. You're focused on, I'm going to screw this up. What if this happens? What if I forget what I'm going to say? And it's all about you. And then instead you say, I'm showing up today because Jim is sitting in the audience and he needs to hear this. His life is going to be better because of what I'm about to share. Your fear goes away. You just talk to Jim, and it's incredible the difference that has.
I'll add one thing to that, because you're right on. And what also helped me too was I am also doing them a disservice if I do not do what I'm supposed to do, which is public speak or help them, or, you know, if I don't deliver and I don't focus on them, I'm doing them a disservice, which actually takes the focus off of you as well, which is so much better. And you know what's funny, Kirby? So, or interesting, in December, in middle of December, I decided to go live with my Olympic lifting. I go to the gym 5 days a week. I will never miss. In fact, I plan things around my lifting. It's kind of funny, but it's my favorite. I love doing it. I realize I love doing it because I've been doing it for like 8 years. And then like my golf trips, I plan my golf around my lifting. But I realize that at the gym, I have a lot of people that acquaintances or, you know, friends that I get to say hi to and encourage them. And we encourage each other, which is great. And then as I started going live, I started realizing how people, one big reason why I wanted to go live was to encourage people to start exercising too. Finances are great, but if your health's not there, then it's, anyway. So I started realizing that a lot of people don't go to the gym because my wife's one of them. I'll be completely straightforward and say that. She's like, man, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to look like an idiot. People are going to see, oh, that person's not using that equipment right, or that person's weak, or that person's heavy. What, like those thoughts come in everybody's head because you're focused on yourself. You're focused on what's wrong with you, but in completely honest, like I've been lifting weights for 15 years. I've been going to the gym forever because I, you know, played high school, college football. And, but at the gym, just like everywhere else, everybody's only concerned about themselves, or they're so wrapped up in what they're doing. They're not even looking at you. You're thinking people are looking at you, thinking you're not doing it right. No, nobody cares. Same thing, like coming to my conference. They're not looking at you like you don't know what you're doing, or hey, you just started, you get out of here. No, it's not like that. In fact, if anybody, like, let's say you come, because you've already had people get tickets. I know that your community is coming, which is fantastic. If you come and you say, hey, Dustin, there's this person over here, it's kind of making me feel like, you know, they're like, I don't belong here. Talk to me and I will talk to them. I will set them straight. I hate that. I hate that, because in the end, what it comes down to is we're all human beings. We're all trying to we put our pants one leg on a time, and we're just trying to make sure we feed our families and take care of ourselves. And if anybody thinks they're better than somebody else, hey, I got something to hand it to you, is that there's always somebody better than you. So don't think to yourself too highly.
Yeah, absolutely. Great message. Well, what's the dates and location for people who are interested?
I'm so pumped. It's going to be in Nashville. Nashville is a fantastic, everybody wants to go to Nashville.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just, you know, brides. They're on their vacation. Or
bachelorettes.
Bachelorette party. Not just brides, but everybody. It's so much fun there. It's fantastic. And March 19th through the 21st. And so all day, the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we do this 3 days. And it's so amazing. And then you have Sunday to fly home, or if you want to hang out in Nashville even longer. But March 19th through the 21st. And we have two different tickets. You have the basic ticket, but they also have the VIP pass. The VIP gets you food, and you get to hang out with Kirby. You get to hang out with myself and all the other speakers. But it's just, it's and right now, as you're probably going to release it pretty soon, this episode, but still early bird prices right now. Prices are going to go up. But what it comes down into is changing your life. Like, if you buy the ticket, it's not going to change my life. In fact, it's just going to pay the hotel. That's really what all the money goes to the hotel. It's just the way it is. I get blessed to be able to put on a party, but it's going to change your life. Absolutely. I completely know, because I've been doing it for 5 years. Kirby, you've been 4 years now. I think mm-hmm. you at least four years.
I was there. Yeah. From the first one.
You're the first one, 5 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, there's so many people that I talk about who have been successful that I've worked with. That I think back to where I met him, and I'm like, oh, it was RubeCon. Like, we met at RubeCon, we connected there, and then started working together, and now they have properties and they've done these amazing things. I mean, it's definitely worth your time. It's 3 days that could potentially change your life.
And it's investing in yourself. I mean, I completely get it. You got to fly across the country if you're not living close, get a hotel. I completely get it. But in the end, you're investing in yourself. Just like if you go to college, you're going to spend 80 grand going to college and get a piece of paper. You're going to trade 80,000 pieces of paper, dollar bills, for one piece of paper, call it a degree, and then hopefully go get a job. Well, if you spend a fraction of that, come to the event, your life's going to be changed, and then you're going to have a new perspective, and you're going to be investing successfully. Plus, you're going to be hanging out with Kirby. Everybody wants to hang out with Kirby.
Well, and this is one of the only conferences I go to throughout the whole year, because I'd rather be home with my family for the most part. But it's well worth it. And that's why I keep coming back, because it's just super valuable. So awesome. Well, yeah, you can go to Income Building Live, right?
Yep.
That's the website.
Yep.
And then hope to see you in March if you want to join us here.
And use a promo code Kirby.
Oh yeah,
promo code Kirby. I think it's 10% discount.
I think it's 20. It's 20 actually.
20%.
Yeah, I swindled someone on your team into giving us 20. So yeah,
20% discount. There's no reason to not come. I mean, honestly, if you've been coming, or sorry, you didn't listen to the podcast, Living Off Rentals podcast, you need to hang out with Kirby. He's as genuine in real life, probably even much more so than the podcast. So you got to come hang out with Kirby. IncomeBuildingLive.com. Use a promo code Kirby. But yeah, so. Yeah, love that you're a part of this. But you could also, like, my Instagram. I actually been growing my Instagram pretty well. The Dustin Heiner. If you want to reach out to me, send me a DM. Tell me you listened to Kirby's episode, and I just love helping people to invest in real estate. But yeah, the Dustin Heiner is my Instagram handle, and I hope to see you at Income Building Live.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.